The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'm going to be reading to you from the AARP Bulletin for November 2018. And our programming today is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. You can call them at 919-782-4733. Again, that's 919-782-4733. Now, the cover article for the AARP Bulletin this month is a special report on Social Security, the real facts. But by many measures, Social Security is the most important program the federal government operates. Last year, one in six Americans received benefits which totaled nearly $1 trillion, and over half of all Americans contributed a chunk of their income through payroll taxes to help secure their own future retirement. But as large as it is, or perhaps because of how big it is, Social Security is often misunderstood. From rumors the program is running out of money to claims that politicians are diverting its cash, myths and questions about Social Security abound. On these pages, we'll tackle many of them to help you better understand both how the program works and how to make the most of what it has to offer. Find even more insights and answers at aarp.org/Social Security. Our newly relaunched Social Security Resource Center is the top place for members and all Americans to better understand and plan for Social Security. So that little message is from the editors of the AARP Bulletin. Now, 12 top things to know about Social Security. Understanding the program that helps secure your future. This is by Kenneth Terrell. 1. Social Security is not going bankrupt. At the moment, you could say the opposite. The Social Security trust funds are near an all-time high. The program really is in good shape right now, says David Certner, AARP's legislative policy director. But we know it has a long-term financial challenge. Here's why. For decades, Social Security collected more money than it paid out in benefits. The surplus money collected from payroll taxes each year got invested in Treasury securities. Today, the trust fund reserves are worth about $2.89 trillion. But as the birth rate has fallen and more boomers retire, the ratio of workers to Social Security recipients is changing. This year is a tipping point. The program will need to dip into its reserves to pay full benefits from this point forward, absent any change to the program. It's now forecast that the trust fund reserves could be exhausted in 2034. Even if that happens, Social Security won't be bankrupt. The program will continue to pay benefits, but at a rate of 79% of what recipients expected to receive. But if the goal is to keep benefits at their current levels, the sooner funding issues are addressed, the better. The reason is simple. The earlier you make needed adjustments, the less dramatic they need to be. The longer we wait to fix Social Security funding, the more the cost will be paid by the younger generations, either on the tax side or the benefit side, says Kathleen Romig, a Social Security analyst at the Nonpartisan Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. 2. Congress probably will not take up Social Security reform anytime soon. Several members of Congress have proposed legislation to address the program's long-term funding issues, but given the deep political divides on Capitol Hill, it's unlikely that Congress will make any effort to reform Social Security until there's the possibility of bipartisan support. Because Social Security is so important, we need to be really thoughtful and deliberate about how to make change, Romig says. And we want a bipartisan consensus because we want the change to last. There are concerns that the tax cut legislation passed in late 2017 could lead some lawmakers to look for places where they might cut spending. The stage has been set by the tax bill to take another run at Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, says Max Richtman, CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Control of Congress after this year's elections will play a key role in how Social Security's funding is addressed. 3. Some ideas to reform funding are starting to take shape. One proposal is to either raise or eliminate the wage cap on how much income is subject to the Social Security payroll tax. In 2019, that cap will be $132,900, which means that any amount a worker earns beyond that is not taxed. Remove that cap, and higher income earners would contribute far more to the system. Other options lawmakers might consider include either raising the percentage rate of the payroll tax or raising the age for full retirement benefits. 4. Lawmakers do not raid the trust fund. Another common myth about Social Security is the belief that Congress or the President use trust fund assets to pay for other federal expenses, such as education, defense, or economic programs. That's not accurate. The money remaining after the Social Security Administration, SSA, has paid benefits and other expenses is invested directly into U.S. Treasury securities. The government can use the money from these securities, but it has to pay the money back with interest. Congress does get to determine each year how much the SSA spends on administrative costs, which includes staffing at field offices and call centers. In the most recent fiscal year, the SSA got an increase of $480 million, which raised the agency's administrative budget to more than $12 billion. 5. Many believe it can be run better. As you would expect, the SSA is a big operation with more than 60,000 employees and 1,200 field offices nationwide. With the rapid increase in the number of retirees, the agency has struggled to keep up. There aren't enough resources to take care of all the people now, and another 10,000 people turn 65 every day, Richtman says. A recent audit showed that average wait times at field offices increased 32% between fiscal years 2010 and 2017, for example. During that same period, the number of visitors who had to wait over an hour to be seen at a field office nearly doubled. 6. Your Social Security benefits can be taxed. If you have other income in addition to Social Security, you might have to pay federal taxes on your benefits. Single filers whose combined annual income exceeds $34,000 might pay income tax on up to 85% of their Social Security benefits. Couples filing jointly may pay tax on up to 85% if their combined income tops $44,000. And 13 states tax Social Security benefits depending upon differing variables. Colorado, Connecticut, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, North Dakota, Rhode Island, Utah, Vermont, and West Virginia. 7. Social Security is not meant to be a retiree's sole source of income. The SSA says if you have average earnings, the program's retirement benefits will replace only about 40% of your pre-retirement wages. Nevertheless, 26% of those 65 and over who receive a monthly Social Security benefit today live with families that depend on it for almost all of their retirement income. And 50% of them say their families depend on Social Security for at least half of their income. 8. The purchasing power of Social Security is diminishing. Every year, the SSA issues a cost of living adjustment, COLA, which is an annual adjustment that beneficiaries receive to help their monthly checks keep up with inflation. However, the formula used to calculate the COLA does not fully account for the medical costs of an average older American. These costs have been increasing faster than other goods and services. An average American, 55 and older, spends about 27% more annually on health care costs than the overall population, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. 9. You can work and get Social Security. But be aware, the agency will withhold some of your benefit if you are younger than full retirement age and your earned wages exceed a certain limit. In 2019, the threshold on your earnings will be $17,640. Make more than that, and the government will temporarily withhold $1 from your benefit for every $2 earned over the cap. You will receive this money eventually in the form of higher benefits once you hit your full retirement age. If you wait until full retirement age to start drawing Social Security, you can work as much as you like and your benefits won't be reduced. 10. Social Security has gone digital. The U.S. Treasury Department has moved away from sending out paper checks in favor of electronic payments. The SSA also has set up an online portal called My Social Security, where you can track your benefits. People are encouraged to go to the website, ssa.gov/myaccount, and set up an account. It will help prevent scammers from setting up an account in your name and possibly stealing your benefits. 11. Social Security is not just a retirement program. There are four main types of Social Security benefits: retirement, disability, dependent, and survivor. Sometimes a person can qualify for more than one of these. However, Social Security generally will only pay one benefit at a time to a person. When filing for benefits, you should make sure to ask about your eligibility for other benefits, and if there is a change in your family status, such as the death of the family breadwinner, you should inform SSA of his or her death and ask if you or other family members are now eligible for additional survivor or dependent benefits. 12. Most people get back more than they put in. Worried that the money taken out of your check to fund Social Security will never come back to you? Over the years, studies have shown that most people receive more in benefits than they paid into the program. The Urban Institute issues reports that estimate how much people are paying into the program and what they are likely to receive in retirement benefits. That report can be viewed at urban.org. As a general matter, married couples are more likely to get back more than they contributed than single people, and both low-income and high-income people may receive more dollars from the program over a lifetime than the amount of money they contributed to it. Now, here's a sidebar. Your questions answered. AARP experts address chief concerns. Is there a maximum Social Security benefit you can receive no matter how much you've earned? Yes, but that depends on the worker's year of birth, his or her yearly taxable earnings, and the age the worker starts getting benefits. The highest amount a worker turning age 66 in 2019 can get is $2,861 a month. But you can increase that amount if you wait until turning 70 to start claiming the benefit. A worker with $2,861 a month payable at a full retirement age of 66 would collect $3,776 a month by delaying until age 70, without working past 66. That's because your benefit increases by 8% a year between full retirement age and 70. I am making contributions to my 401k. Will that change my Social Security earnings limit? Contributing to a 401k plan does not reduce the amount of earnings that the program uses for tax purposes or in the program's retirement earnings test. Social Security looks at your gross earnings before any tax-deferred deductions and allotments. I am on Social Security disability. Can I collect these disability payments and the program's retirement benefits at the same time? You cannot collect both at the same time. If you are eligible for both, you would receive the higher of the two. In most cases, the disability payment will be higher than a reduced retirement benefit. That is because the program calculates your disability benefit as though you reached full retirement age when you became disabled. It converts to a retirement benefit in the month you attain full retirement age. Can you change your mind about collecting retirement benefits from the program? Yes, but only one time. Social Security will allow you to withdraw your application for retirement and repay the benefits within your first 12 months of eligibility. If you are over full retirement age, you can ask the program to suspend your payments. If you temporarily stop your retirement benefit between full retirement age and age 70, you will get a higher amount when you start collecting again. If I start taking my benefit at 62, can I switch to spousal benefits when my husband claims his Social Security? You can claim your own benefit at 62 and then pick up a spouse's benefit on your husband's record later, if it is higher. When your husband files for his retirement funds, you will be eligible for an additional benefit on his record if your full retirement age amount is less than half of his. Can I collect a survivor benefit from my deceased husband at age 62 and switch to my own retirement benefits later? Yes. When you are eligible for both your own retirement benefit and a survivor benefit, you have the option of collecting one benefit early and waiting until you're older to switch to the other. Collecting one early will not affect the amount of the other when you switch later. You can collect a survivor benefit on your deceased spouse's record as early as age 60 and wait as late as age 70 to switch to your own record. Another option is to collect your own retirement benefit as early as age 62 and switch to the survivor benefit when you reach full retirement age. What if I stop working in my 50s? Will it affect the benefits that I receive if I apply at age 62 or 66, or even if I wait until 70? Your program benefits are calculated based on your 35 highest years of earnings. It doesn't matter what age you were when your earnings peaked. The estimates on your Social Security statement include anticipated future earnings if you have worked in the 2 years prior to the statement date. So, that estimate may be off if you plan to stop working sooner than that. You can fine-tune that estimate with Social Security's Retirement Estimator, which can be found on its website at ssa.gov. You can also get a revised estimate by calling the Social Security Administration at 800-772-1213 or TTY 800-325-0778. And now, as part of the bulletin special report, we'll hear from some people living on Social Security. Social Security was never designed to be the sole source of income for older Americans, but in an era of disappearing pensions, dwindling savings, and longer lifespans, it has become the primary and at times the only financial lifeline for some. How well can one live on Social Security? That depends on where you live, how you live, and other factors, is how some people do it. It keeps us going. DeWitt and Diane Head of Hubbardsville, New York. DeWitt Head and his wife Diane, DeWitt Head, 77, and his wife Diane, 73, have spent most of their 54-year marriage milking cows together and raising prize-winning Holsteins, as well as five children. Dairy farming has been a good life, says DeWitt, a fifth-generation farmer. It keeps the family close. DeWitt and Diane still live near the 900 acres, first purchased by DeWitt's great-grandfather in 1904. The couple farmed that land for decades, but at age 60, when he was still milking 100 cows three times a day, DeWitt developed heart disease. He had to sell his herd and some of his land and pass the operation to one of his sons. I started taking Social Security at 62 because I was told I would die, but I proved them wrong, says DeWitt. The Heads receive a combined Social Security payment of around $1,000 a month. We're farmers. We never made a lot of money. But the income keeps us going, DeWitt says. Most of my friends get more, but they waited longer. After his heart trouble and his quasi-retirement from dairy farming, DeWitt worked at a golf course and drove a school bus. but at 72, he was persuaded by Diane to retire. She said it's time to slow down. DeWitt says he's thankful for Social Security and hopes the safety net is there for the next generation. The politicians shouldn't touch it. Next, I'm at peace. This is May Gillespie from Roanoke, Virginia. May Gillespie has a good head for numbers. In her youth, she earned a college degree in business and went on to bookkeeping and other financial jobs. All of that experience has helped the 84-year-old live comfortably on the $1,101 she receives monthly from Social Security. I've never had any problem, but I do know how to work a budget, says Gillespie, who lives in a one-bedroom apartment in a quiet, tree-shaded, federally subsidized complex for residents 62 and older. Gillespie contracted multiple sclerosis at age 22, but she never let it keep her from working, she says. She moved to Roanoke more than 15 years ago to be close to her daughter and son-in-law. She spends about $220 a month on groceries and manages to tithe to her church after paying for rent, utilities, telephone, supplemental health insurance, and a medical alert device. Her daughter is a big help, she says. They get together every Saturday for coffee and to run errands. She considers herself to be in good health and believes that helps her live within her means. I don't take medicine, she says. The local office on aging provides rides to the few medical appointments that she has to make. Gillespie says she leads a full life, participating in a weekly Bible study, a Tai Chi class, and other programs at her apartment complex. She likes to sit near a small fish pond and read. I'm very much at peace, she says. Next we have Mark Stevens from Ormond Beach, Florida. He says, I'm so darn spoiled. When he's not tinkering with one of his vintage motorcycles, Mark Stevens can be found chipping golf balls or maybe sitting in a beach chair with a fishing rod nearby. He retired early, but his monthly check enables Stevens and his wife to live a comfortable, if not extravagant, lifestyle in Florida. It is summertime all the time, says Stevens, 65. I am so darn spoiled. Proudly frugal, he retired in 2015 from a small manufacturing plant in Erie, Pennsylvania, and relocated from the snow belt to sunny Ormond Beach, Florida. His wife, Laurie, 45, joined him and began working at an assisted living facility. The couple paid $134,000 in cash to buy a 1,000-square-foot home about 600 yards from the ocean. Without Social Security, you cannot sniff retirement, says Stevens. Because he retired at 62, his Social Security check is less than had he waited, but the $1,400 a monthly payment enables the couple to pay the bills and enjoy leisurely pursuits. Stevens jokes that his personal 401k is for collectible motorcycles worth about $60,000. Of course, unexpected expenses crop up. A hurricane damaged the roof in 2016. The amount of work around the house is exponential compared to up north, Stevens says. Other than that, living down here is like living on a giant cruise ship. Next, Senarina Olivares of Lockhart, Texas, says, we must speak up. Senarina Olivares, 83, has been a caregiver her whole life. Now Social Security is helping take care of her. Since arriving in Texas from Mexico in 1968, Olivares worked full-time as a nanny for three families, only one of which paid into Social Security for her. The $800 a month she draws from the program constitutes most of her income. Social Security is indispensable, says Olivares, who never married or had children. She became a U.S. citizen in the 1980s and began taking Social Security at age 65, but she worked as a nanny until age 80. She now lives with the daughter of the first family she worked for. The caregiving has come full circle. Olivares was always careful with money and years ago purchased a Houston condo which she rents out, but between property taxes and condo fees, she just breaks even. She lives in the family's guest cottage and helps out where she can. She counts on Social Security to pay for groceries, transportation, and medications. I get happy when I read deposit from the Social Security Administration on the monthly bank statement, she says. When asked how she manages on $800 a month, she says, "I don't complain. A lot of people don't have enough to make ends meet." But she does worry about rising drug costs and the future of Social Security. "We must protest and speak up to protect Social Security," she says. "Democrats and Republicans should both fight for us." Next is a valuable asset, and this is from Ken Adams in Las Vegas. Ken Adams, 78, was head coach for the 1988 U.S. Olympic boxing team and a former amateur fighter. He's trained multiple world champions. His wife, Claudia, 71, met him in Germany when he was in the U.S. military. He retired as an Army Staff Sergeant after 30 years. The two of them each indulge a passion. "She likes to go to the casino. I go to the boxing gym. I train fighters 5 days a week. I love the sport." Both collect Social Security, including his larger check of $1,800. Adams also receives a monthly stipend from the military. The couple has a $1,300 monthly mortgage. He pays $450 a month for a 2017 Lincoln MKZ. Her Honda is almost paid off. Car insurance costs a combined $180 per month. They donate to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital and other charities. Health expenses are covered by his military medical benefits and Medicare. Each contends with health issues. Adams, who served 18 months in Vietnam, suffers from after effects from Agent Orange and has battled bladder cancer. His wife has had surgery for cancer and heart ailments, but they focus on the positive. "She's doing well. My health is real good, too," he says. "Our Social Security check allows us to live very comfortably. It is a valuable monthly asset." Now, we've only got a minute or two left, and you know I like to end a session with a poem when I can. So here's a poem by Mary Oliver from her new and selected poems published by Beacon Press. This is "Morning in a New Land." In trees still dripping night, some nameless birds woke, shook out their arrowy wings, and sang, slowly like finches sifting through a dream. The pink sun fell like glass into the fields. Two chestnuts and a dapple gray, their shoulders wet with light, their dark hair streaming, climbed the hill. The last mist fell away, and under the trees, beyond time's brittle drift, I stood like Adam in his lonely garden on that first morning, shaken out of sleep, rubbing his eyes, listening, parting the leaves like tissue on some vast, incredible gift. And this, August, when the blackberries hang swollen in the woods, in the brambles nobody owns, I spend all day among the high branches, reaching my ripped arms, thinking of nothing, cramming the black honey of summer into my mouth. All day my body accepts what it is. In the dark creeks that run by, there is this thick paw of my life darting among the black bells, the leaves. There is this happy tongue. And now we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity, and I hope you'll listen next time and that you've enjoyed it. Today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. So long until next time.